Amen. Could we give them some love again? Wow. Out of the mouth of babes. Well, they're not exactly babes, right? How does that part go? The devil thought he had me. I thought my life was over. What's the next word, if you would? What? Oh, he even thought that I will give up. Well, he was wrong, right? He was wrong because he who lives in me is greater than he who lives in the world. Isn't that correct? Beautiful. So we have cause, right? We have cause to praise. That's why we're here today. We have cause to praise God because God has always been there for us. And last night I was having a conversation with someone and I just love talking about the Bible. And I said, you know, reality is that the Bible, we can take everything that's written, those thousands and thousands of words in the Bible, and just bring it down to a few words. God created man to have a relationship with him and we messed up. And God is chasing after us now to restore the relationship. Isn't that what the entire Bible is about? Right? Restoration. I mean, if you were to take out all of the nice theological sounding words that basically confuse people anyway, what would it be like? Because we people get tied up with the meaning of the word sanctification and what are some of those other words? Justification and come on, you all know those words? and what's that? Blameless. And I mean, we have all of these words that we use to explain things in the Bible, but reality is this. God's chasing after us. And we have the opportunity to stop running. But you see, quite often what happens is that we keep running and we think that we are standing still. We think that we are in relationship with God, and really, that relationship is strained. One of the scriptures that was mentioned this morning came from the book of Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You see, coming to understand the majesty of God, and even the word majesty, doesn't really give the full meaning as to who God is. You see, in our English language, we are limited. Majesty. I mean, it just means big, right? Sovereignty. You're in charge of everything. But still, it doesn't bring across what it really means. But this particular God who we serve wants this relationship with us. He chases after us. Sent his son. And we said, yeah. And all we have been told is that we need to give our life to him. But for many people, that's a little bit difficult, right? Because what we are looking at now is we are looking at a situation where we have the society within which we live giving us certain messages. And then as we continue living in this society, we get more of these messages that tell us, well, you know something, you're not really all that good. You're a bad person. God's not really going to forgive you for that anyway. Yeah, sure, he says, you know, 70 times 7, but your 400 and whatever that number comes up to, it's gone. And really, God really doesn't care about you. Or it might go to the other extreme, not the other extreme, but the other part of it says that, well, yeah, he might care about you, but you know what? You should be ashamed of yourself for all those things that you've done. You see, what happens is that many of us, we come to Christ and we're saying, well, I need to clean myself up first. Let me see what the scripture says. It says, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. When you think about the majesty of God and the history of mankind, we've messed up a few times, right? And somehow we believe that in his great majesty and sovereignty, that these mess-ups that we do really mounts up to a whole big hill of beans, right? And really God says, no. Because the reality is that God knew what he was getting into, right? But yeah, I mean, think about it. He says, Kenneth, I got a church in Chicago for you to pastor. And my first question is, you really know what you're doing? Right? But he knows exactly what he's doing. He knew what he was getting into when he said, listen, I want you. Because you look at the history of man, God created man. Man rebelled. And since that rebellion, way back in biblical days, right, at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when Eve and Adam partook of the fruit of that tree, man became rebellious. And now what we have now is God saying, okay, I understand. You messed up. I understand. Of and by yourself, you cannot keep the law. I understand that you continually go after things that, you know, that catches your attention. The devil throws things out there. He shakes a few things in front of you, a few dollar bills, and that's basically what it comes up to. And we chase after it. You're deceived. I understand that. But for some strange reason, when we come before God, we want to be perfect. I got to get myself right with God. When God says, all you have to do is to let me in. I'll take care of this. I'll clean it up. Amen. But he says, no, I got to do this. And then finally, when we go through certain, it's a correct word to use, when we go through hell in our lives, you all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. We come to the point where we say, well, okay, I need God. I really need God here. And then what happens is that we say, okay, yes. Lord, you are my life. You are my savior. Come into me and change this because I can't change it anymore. And we submit. And then God comes in and then we start setting up rules. Any of you ever saw the television series Hoarders? Give me an amen if you heard Hoarders, if you saw Hoarders. Okay, so we know what we're talking about, right? So for those who don't know about Hoarders, which I doubt, but I'll tell you anyway. The premise of this particular program is that there are people who just have a lot of junk in their lives. Amen?
Amen.
Junk stacked from the basement to the ceiling, north to south in the house, east to west. And literally, people have to climb over junk in order to get to the front door. People sleep on top of junk. They don't sleep on top of a bed anymore. They do their laundry where they can in junk. You eat in junk, right? And even the bathroom, when you go to the bathroom, yeah, you put out some junk, but you still have a lot of junk. And then the intervention happens because there are people in your lives who care for you so much that they decide that they're going to have an intervention. They come and they say, well, okay, we're going to help you clean up. But we're going to bring in some professionals. We're going to bring in some people who know what they're doing, who can come in and for now, can clean up this house. And then all of a sudden, you're going to have a nice, clean, spanking, fresh house without any junk. They say, yeah, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, bring them in. And then all of a sudden, the moving crew comes in or the junk cleaning crew comes in and as soon as they enter the door, it's, wow, look at this place. Okay, let's get to work. So they come to clean up the house. And what's the first thing that happens? No, 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 don't touch that. Can't touch that. You know, you see, this has sentimental value, right? It has been in the family for generations. It's a piece of junk, right? It's been in the family. This is how we do things. Say, no, don't touch that, but anything else. Okay, so let's, no, no, not that. And we start setting up these barriers and telling the people who are coming in to clean this house out, to clean up our lives, we're saying, oh, don't touch this. And people are literally climbing over junk to get to more junk. And sometimes there's so much junk in the house that you don't even know what's there. And the sad part is that as the junk accumulates, so too do all these diseases. So too do the rats and the roaches. And once the rats start to do their urination and to do their pooping and things like that, it becomes toxic. Diseases just waiting there to happen. And the weird thing about it is that these people live in these rat-infested houses filled with all these potential diseases, and they don't get sick. Think about that. People become immune. I don't know if you're all hearing me. People become immune to sickness. People become immune to garbage. And sometimes the garbage builds up so slowly that we don't even know what's going on. But I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about the show now. Okay? I'm talking about the show because I know none of y'all in here ain't got no garbage. Right? So in the show, what happens is that you have all of this garbage being built up here and people just living there, quite comfortable, becoming immune to garbage. And then when it comes to the point when, you know, the movers come, the cleaners come, and they can't really do anything because the individual in the show, they're resisting, here comes the psychologist now. So the psychologist now has to come into the picture and sit with the individual and start talking and reasoning and trying to find out, okay, what is the attachment that you have to this? Can you just let a little bit of it go? Well, no, not really, because, you know, I just feel as though there's a big part of me that's attached to this. And if you get rid of this piece of garbage, what's going to happen is that it's just like a part of me being ripped open. Yeah, that's what needs to happen. Because we have the people in the show, they have an unhealthy attachment to garbage. Amen. I mean, I'm talking to you all. You got garbage in your life? You see, some of us have garbage that come from way back in the day, right? I mean, I don't mean to make fun of it, but some people have been through some stuff. Sexual abuse, emotional abuse, right? Poverty and poverty issues, drug, you name it, the list goes on and on. Those could be really hard things to live with. And sometimes we don't even know that we are living with it. You know, like the people who are so attached to this junk. Sometimes our lives are dictated by some of these things that happened in the past, and we don't know why we jump from relationship to relationship. Why? Because we are so enmeshed in the stuff that we live in. And God is saying, you know what? Release it. I am the one. I have come to give you life. Right now, this house, you don't have life in this house. You could barely move. So the psychologist comes along and tries to work with them. And I guess to some degree, God is a psychologist. Do you think that? Yes. He's better than them psychologists, right? And he's patient. But you see, in the show, what happens is that after a period of time, you see, the producer says, okay, we got to spend 1 week in this location. After a period of time, the movers going to leave. Because it's like, well, you called me into this house to help you clean up. I've come into the house, I've spent an entire week trying to help you to clean up, but you wouldn't let me do anything. I mean, really, why am I here? So eventually, the movers and the cleaner uppers, they would do a few things here and there, try to tidy up as best as they can, but you know what? after a while, they move on. And I'm just wondering, really, I'm just wondering, because in the scripture it talks about quenching Holy Spirit. I'm wondering if that's kind of like not like quenching the Holy Spirit just a little bit. I don't know, I'm just wondering. How majestic is your name in all the earth? The God who's created everything, who knows everything, all powerful, all knowing, he's saying, I know what your life is like. You can't hide from me. I mean, you can avoid me, not wise, but you can't hide. When you come, let me clean you up. Because remember the prodigal son? Show hands if you remember the prodigal son. Okay, a few of you remember him. What was the story? The story was simple. He thought it was time to move on. I'm not going to get into all of the deep theological meanings and stuff like that, right? But he thought it was time to move on. He got his inheritance. He left. He messed up. And he was dirty. Y'all believe he was dirty? Anyone of you ever worked with pigs before? Or cows? Same thing, really. They get pretty dirty. And he was there, coming to the point where he says, well, you know, that food that the pig is eating, that looks really good right about now. How low do you have to go? This is not a song, okay? How low do you have to go when pig ration now becomes attractive? I mean, that's really low. That's not even scraping the bottom of the barrel. You under the barrel, okay? And then he came to his senses and he says, you know what? I'm going to go to my daddy's house. And when he went to the daddy's house, what was interesting about it? The interesting thing is this dirty person, that's the way I envision him, this dirty person is walking along the path to his daddy's house. His daddy sees him a ways off, and what did the daddy do? Okay, y'all sound like you're not too sure about this. What did the daddy do? He ran. Some of you all said he put his arms around him. I mean, he can put his arms around him like this, right? But this was an embrace, embrasso, okay? It means that you run up to the person full frontal, big old hug. It's not just my fingertips touching him. You know, some people like to hug, right? I mean, this was a big old embrace, full, right? Hugging this dirty person. I mean, do you think God wants to hug a dirty person? Yes, absolutely. So what we're saying now is that God accepts you just the way you are. He doesn't expect you to stay the way you are because he had the son go in and clean up, right? The point being that when Holy Spirit comes into us and says, okay, I'm going to clean, we got to be real. We can't say, okay, you can clean up this area here, but that closet, leave the closet alone. You know, that's where I keep personal stuff, right? When Holy Spirit comes in, I mean, we are in an open book here. Take me, right? Take me. Remove every impurity that you can find. Here I am. I am allowing you free reign in my life. My life is now yours, right? My life now belongs to you. Now, that's a song for you, right? My life now belongs to you. It is not I who live, but you living in me. And quite often what happens is that we get to the point sometimes where we believe that we can get rid of sin on our own. But it don't work like that. We've tried it. I've tried it. How did that work? It didn't. The fact that I'm standing here now says that I have a message. And the message is simple. He says, come just as you are. See the Spirit move. I am here for you. You don't need to try to clean up on your own because you can't. First, you don't even know what you're cleaning. Because we've lived around this junk in the house for so long, we don't even see it as junk. We see it as treasures. Says that one man's junk is another man's treasure, right? We see this junk in the house as treasure. And what God is saying, he says, no, it's junk. You gotta get rid of it. And you don't even have to get rid of it. Just let the movers come in and take it. So I'm here today to tell you this. Well, among other things. If you have junk, and you find that it's difficult to release that junk, God is speaking to you. If you have junk and you don't even know you have junk, because sometimes, you know, there are a few things that's hidden away, certain things that we've pressed really deep down inside that we don't want to look at, and things that we don't want other people to see, God is talking to you. If it is that we don't even know what junk looks like, but we think that we are all clean on the inside, but in reality we might have an outward show of cleanliness, God is talking to you. During my, I think it was my third month as the pastor of Shepherd's Community Church, I made a statement. It was pretty bold. I made a statement, and I still stand to that statement. I say, I look around in the audience, and I see hurting people. There are people who are hurting. You're hurting for a whole lot of different reasons. And you are walking around pretending that everything is okay. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I'm blessed and highly favored. That might be true. You're not lying. You're blessed and you're highly favored. But how are you doing? Really? You see, the devil sold us a lie and we just gobbled it up. Because what the devil says is that you can't tell anybody your problems because that will make you look bad, because as a Christian, need to be perfect. As a Christian, you don't have any problems because I come under the grace of God. And because I'm under the grace of God, nothing can touch me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And we quote all these scriptures. But the reality is this, as we are making transition from the old into the new, right? There are things that's going to be happening. Because the devil don't like that. He's going to test you. He's going to tempt you. He's going to come after you, right? And because we have a theology that I don't believe in, but we have a theology that says that if you're a Christian, all good things come to those who wait. Only good things are going to happen to you. You're going to be blessed. All you have to do is to pay your tithes, and then you're going to be blessed. I would open up storehouses that it wouldn't be big enough to store the things that you... But Christ also said, you know what? They hated me. They're going to hate you too. He says, I don't come here to preach peace, okay? Because this world is not it. You are not of this world. And what's going to happen is that the world will persecute you because they persecuted me, and you ain't no better than me. So when we hear all of this theology, what we think is that, oh, it's going to be nice, it's going to be good. And then stuff happens in your life and we hide it. We hide it because we think that, oh, well, you know, I'm supposed to be a Christian and I'm supposed to be converted. And if it is that I'm going through these issues, then something is wrong with me. And I don't want to let the church know about that because, you know, I'm going to be a bad person. I'm not going to make it into heaven, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to rot in hell. I'm going to hell in a handbasket. God called us like that. And I just need a show of hands. And be honest. For those of you who are baptized, when you went under the water and you came up, did you have all joy, all peace, Show me your hands. Don't lie to me, right? Show me those hands. Did you have all joy? Did you have experience all peace immediately? No, it don't happen like that. You see, Holy Spirit comes along and he says that, listen, this is the process I'm going to take you through. It's going to hurt. Because the old way needs to be pushed to the side. And this is why we have a God. This is why we say that, God, how majestic is your name in all the world. This is why we praise him. This is why we give him praise. Because he sees us the way we are, but he's not content to leave us the way we are. He sees us the way we are, and he's happy to come in and clean up the way we are, to change us into the way we ought to be, to have us become more like him. But the only thing that's stopping the whole process is me. The only thing that's preventing that change from happening is me. And the only thing I need to do to change that is allow the process to happen. Amen?
Amen.
God, we want to thank you. Thank you, great God in heaven, that you are a God who loves us so much, and that in spite of anything that we've been through, in spite of how dirty our houses are, in spite of how dirty and filthy our lives are, great God, you have not abandoned us. You're always there, and you're always willing to clean us up. So God, we are thankful, great God, that we have this opportunity to come into your holy presence, and we pray, Father, that as we continue this praise and worship, worshiping you, Father, because you are worthy of all praise. You are holy. You are sovereign. Anything you say, great God, it's good. It's truth. So as we continue in praise, great God, help us to release our autonomy to you. Because it's not us who's doing the living now, it's you. You are living in us, and we invite you into our innermost beings, great God. We invite you, Father, to inspect all those little nooks and crannies of this house that you want to call your home. We invite you, Father, into the closets. We invite you into the cabinets downstairs in the basement, great God. Lifting up every box and cleaning it out, Father. Moving everything around. And as some of us would know this analogy, we're picking up those toasters and shaking them out. Removing the leaven of sin from our lives. So thank you, great God. In Jesus' name, amen.